Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
all by myself.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lyle and Chris. And before I get started, anyone who wants to tune in and talk to my guest, don't be shy. Just dial 347-945-6003 and hit the one key, and then I will unmute your mic. But if not, you can sit in the background. And I want to say hello to all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and congratulations, because last week we was at 30 countries around the globe. We're now at 33 countries listening around the globe. So praise God for that. You know, the numbers are getting bigger and bigger. Woo, woo. So I'm glad people are tuning in and liking what we're talking about and liking the way my flow is going. So it is what it is. But tonight we're going to have a special guest. Her name is Dr. Tracy Powell. And before I talk to her, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. And then I'm going to introduce my – well, let me introduce my co-host first. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, and I can't. I don't know what you said, Terry, about the numbers, but I think you said 33 countries. So I want to say hi
yep,
to our 33 countries.
Baby. We up to 33
all right,
countries.
All right, awesome.
Listening around the globe.
Awesome.
Yeah. We do the thing. And so
yeah.
I just want to tell our listeners a little bit about our guest. Her name is Dr. Tracy Powell, and she is a woman who is just phenomenal, because she was share with her life with dealing with racism. And for the black and brown women, you know, she want to teach us how she learned how to cope, you know. And Dr. Powell herself was a victim of racism after she finally realized and recovered from what she recognized, a need to learn how to heal, wasn't just something meant exclusively for her. But a lot of people who have been victims of racism, they need to learn how to heal, because once you've been through it, it's kind of hard to get past it. But now she is a published author. She founded the Executive Coaching Institute for Minority Women, LLC, in 2017. Her business was nominated for Business and Person of the Year by Lee County Chambers of Commerce. So she has been on numerous television, radio, interviews on many platforms. So, you know, tonight, you know, don't be shy. If you want to ask a question, go ahead and hit the one key. If not, you can stay in the background and listen. And so without further ado, this phenomenal female, let me say hello to Dr. Tracy Powell. How you doing, Tracy? If that's okay, let me just call you Tracy. But I can't call you
Absolutely.
Dr. Powell.
Tracy is just fine. I am well. How are you?
I'm good. I am so stoked to have you allow me your time, because I know that your plate is always full, but for you to give back, you know, to other people might not mean like much, but I am humbled by the fact that you allow me to have some of your time to just talk to you, and I so appreciate you, because I'm in the process of greatness. If y'all don't know, y'all need to ask somebody.
Not a problem. I am honored myself to be here. Congratulations on being in 33 countries. That is definitely something for you to celebrate and something for you to be proud of. So I can assure you the honor is mine for sitting here joining you as you have 33 countries listening in. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. We thank each other, because it was work. But I you know, and that's why, you know, I don't really do my radio show like other people do theirs. You know, a lot of people, they have a script, you know. But, you know, sometimes when you want to address a person's spirit or their heart, people got to feel the realness, you know. And I don't go by scripts, you know. I don't do that, you know. I just go what motivates me to ask the question. And sometimes, depending on what the topic is, it becomes comedy hour. Sometimes it be like we have in church. Sometimes we just go with the flow. And, you know, people like it because, you know, it's never what they expect. It's like hanging out with some friends. And with that being said, I want you to know that, Tracy, anytime it's something that you want to promote or something that's coming down the pike, this is home. Once you've been on the show, this is home. All you got to do is call me and even come back. Don't feel like, oh, I was just there. I'll come to my show. It don't make a difference. Just call a sister. I'll get you on the schedule.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate it.
You're so welcome. So my question is, how old were you when you first was exposed to racism?
Oh, my God, I had to be about 10 or 12 years old. I'm a native from South Carolina. So racism in South Carolina is something that's really second nature to us. You know it's there. We know it's there. You see it every day, and we continue to see it every day in some cases when I'm back in South Carolina. I recall in 1997, think of this, 1997 was the last time I saw a Klan march in the state of South Carolina, and I was actually in high school, and the Klan had their march down Main Street in the town where I'm from. So just experiencing that, it's something that you never forget. You think about it often. You can close your eyes and still see it. But, you know, it's important to know that it was there in 96 and to be aware that those behaviors and those thought processes continue to be with us even today in 2021.
Amen. We see that by watching the news. You know, they might not be wearing the cone hats, but it changes for some of them wearing uniforms that will protect and serve. You know, so unfortunately, racism in America has way behind everyone else. A lot of countries might have racism here and there in small scale, but in the United States, you would think by now, come on now, we should have come a lot further than we have came, especially when there are blended families, people trying to live together, work together, cohabitate together. So this monster of racism is just ridiculous, and we got to find a way to kill it, you know. And my support is I try to treat people right, and outside of my house, I got two flagpoles. On one flagpole, I got Black Lives Matter. On the other flagpole, I got Stop Asian Hate, because everyone is entitled to the benefits that the United States can offer them. You know, if you're working for it, you grind it, you're entitled to that, you know. And this makes me upset to see, you know, old Asian people being brutalized on the street. Make me sick to my stomach, you know, that first of all, to have no respect for an old person, that you're going to do that to an old person, you know, hurt them. So, you know, if I was a cop, man, there'd be a lot of people in jail, you know. So before I get off on that, I'm going to just let Chris ask his question, and then we'll just come back to that.
All right. Well, Tracy, you know, Michael, I asked this question because I know I'm privileged as a white male, because I didn't have to experience a lot of what the African American community experienced. So, my question is, do you think it has gotten worse or gotten better since you've been discriminated against based on your race?
Chris, you know, in answering that question, I can only go from my perspective, you know, because racism looks different in every community and every environment. So I can only speak to my perspective. I think in my state of South Carolina, things have gotten better. And I think as a country, things are getting better. Yes, we've had some tragedies here lately, but if we look back, at slavery, if we look back at the 60s and the 50s and see how things were, we are progressing. Is there more to be done? Absolutely. But there is progression. There is slow progression, but there is progression. So I'm hopeful that in generations to come, that we will be to a point where everyone is accepted, regardless of their race, regardless of their orientation, regardless of who they are, and regardless of where they live in the world.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know whether you have children or not, Tracy, but if you do have children, if not children, nieces and nephews, do you teach them what to do in case they are stopped by police, because the police are in the limelight right now, you know? And I've taught my grandson, and I've been teaching my grandkids, just be peaceful. Don't say nothing. You know, just do what they say do. And sometimes that's not even good enough.
You know, yes, unfortunately, you know, we all have that on our minds. You know, what do our kids, nieces and nephews do in the event that they are stopped by a police officer? So one thing I tell mine is every police officer is not bad.
Exactly.
Everyone that's in blue is not out there to harm you. Everyone is not out there to bring danger to you, so your job should not be to bring danger to that person. I instruct them so that at all costs be respectful, follow instructions, and answer questions. It's not time for a debate. It's not time for a conversation. It is time to listen, and it is time to follow instructions, and we can deal with everything on the back end. And that's what I tell them, and I let them know that, you know, in the court system, we can deal with anything. But once you take that breath and you're gone from this earth, it's a moot point, you know, because that battle is lost. We've lost you. So I encourage them to be respectful, as I do myself when I am stopped by a police officer. And just I think the fact of just knowing that every officer is not out there to harm, every officer is not out there to attack and kill African Americans, I think that changed the perspective with our young people. It takes the fear away. You know, when I was growing up, we were taught that officers are our friend, and you go to an officer when there is a problem or when you're afraid or when you're lost or you need help. And that's the same message I think we need to teach our children today, because, you know, you can go to that officer and, you know, that officer will help you. That's their job, to protect and to serve. So I really try to keep it on a positive note and encourage them to be respectful and follow all the instructions.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, you know, because that's what I was taught too. You know, but we still have some cases that I've just seen recently on the news on Inside Edition, where a guy last year wasn't doing anything, and he was saying, "What do you want me to do?" And for no good reason, they just pulled him out of his car. He died, and he was saying, "I can't breathe," and all this other stuff, you know. And it's just sad, because I don't want people to think that everybody that is not of color is evil and mean and bad or racist, because that's not true. And a lot of people are talking about 400 years ago, we're still doing the same old thing with the racism. You know, and I've always said to people that, you know, when they start talking about Blue Lives Matter, I said it would be a different narrative if they had said Black Lives Matter and put the two on the end, because we're not debating no one else not being worthy to live. You know, everybody deserves to be treated with respect, and that's the main thing. And this march that you saw of the Klansmen march, was that the catalyst for you deciding to create, write your book, first of all, and then create this institute for the executive coaching to help minority women get past it? Was this the main thing? Because I don't know if you live in South Carolina, and that's where my mom was from, South Carolina. You know, there's still little pockets where people talk to you sideways or follow you when you go in the store. It might not be blatantly in your face, but was that the catalyst for you to say, "My God," or for you to decide to go on to be a doctor, you know, because I think you said you was in high school when this happened?
Yes, I was in high school when I saw the march. That did not contribute to the development of the institute. I developed the institute from experiences that I experienced in the work environment, with racism, with discrimination, with watching people being passed over, with watching people not being welcomed to the table as decision makers. And sometimes it was not always me personally. Sometimes the best lesson is watching and observing, and I've seen that. I felt and experienced my own racism in the workplace, and I have been passed over for positions as well. And that was one thing that, you know, I said I wanted to start my institute, not only because of the racist basis, but really to teach our women and to coach our women of color, our Black and brown sisters, that we have to make sure that we are prepared and we are bringing to the table what is needed at the table. Because
Amen.
It's easy for them to eliminate us when we don't have what we need. But sometimes we don't know what we need. And that's why one thing I focus on in coaching is networking. And that's something that a lot of us don't do in the workplace. We isolate ourselves. And you know, we don't want to network with our colleagues that may not look like us. And we want to be in our little clique of people of color. And sometimes that leads to more harm than good for us as we try to advance in the workplace.
You're absolutely right. Wow. Chris, you have a question, darling?
Yes, my next question for Tracy is with all the things that you've got, with all the things you've done in your life, in your career, is this something that you dreamt about doing, like as a child, or did all this just happen upon?
No, I've always dreamt about helping and coaching people, and that's something that I saw my mother do. My mother is definitely a people person, and she's always she has a heart of giving, and she's always helping someone. And so it becomes a learned behavior. You watch your family members give back and help the community, and then you want to help as well. I just wanted to help women of color. And it's something I've always wanted to do. It's something that I started doing at a very young age. So one thing I did not do is allow certain situations stop my drive and stop my execution. I just stayed the course and developed the institute when the time was right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you had that foresight, because with everybody, whether it's male or female, there's going to be some people who are going to take the initiative to step up and be the front runner. You know, and there's other people that's going to follow. And we need people who are willing to lead, even though the task might not be an easy one, but they're able to step out and do what is right in their spirit and bring others along with them. You know, when it says that you was nominated for Business and Person of the Year by the Lee County Chambers of Commerce, is that Lee County, Alabama? There's a lot of Lee counties.
No, that's Lee County in South Carolina.
Oh, okay. That's phenomenal, because not only was your business, but also Person of the Year. So you are making a difference. Thank you for, making a difference, because we need more women who are strong enough not to be intimidated. Now, since you've had this position, have you had anyone come at you in a way like, implying in the conversation, like you're getting too above yourself, you need to stand down?
No, and thank you for the comment. No, I have not had anyone to criticize my initiatives or my business or my platform. I was surprised to see that even our Caucasian counterparts and my Caucasian sisters have applauded me for stepping out and standing for Black and Brown women, because what we have to realize, just like with police officers, similar with our Caucasian community, they see what we see. They see racism. They see discrimination. They see the struggles that we deal with as Black and Brown people, and they want nothing more, some of them, but for us to succeed and us to overcome as well. So I can say that they celebrated me for taking their leadership initiative and standing up and really giving love and support to Black and Brown women in my community.
Amen. And just keeping it real, some people just know when enough is enough. And the more we grow and learn how to love and be compassionate one to another, we get to recognize, I don't care what shade you come in, this is not right. And I'm glad that some people are sticking up, because all voices got to come together to make people just stop, like the insurrection on January 6th at the Capitol Street. They had this one guy talking about, it was just like they were doing a tour, and then they showed another picture of him sitting there trying to hold the doors back shut with that bench, And so it's just so much lies and so much craziness. you know, and they're making it difficult for our president to try to do what he can do to help everybody, you know, and we need to get out of worrying about how much money is being generated in our pocket and learn how to be human beings, because we're human beings before we're anything else. We're not cattle. We're not less than, you know, so I don't know where the superiority complex come from, you know, where people feel like they're more superior than you are. And I imagine even in the black culture, there are some black people think they're better than other black people because of the condition they hold, you know. But it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's sickening. It really is sickening. So, Chris, let you have your question, darling. Because, my God, time is running by real fast.
Yeah, I know. Time is flying. And this is a great conversation because I think racism needs to be discussed. But my question for Tracy is, you know, I guess I kind of know the answer, but I want to just hear your perspective. What are steps that we can do to end racism? I mean, you know, people say certain words and people say, you know, do certain things. I mean, I know it can be as simple as that, but it seems like it's harder for a lot of people. What are things we can do?
Chris, that's a great question. And I personally think that the change starts with the individual. And as an individual, we can love thy neighbor as that self, you know, the greatest commandment that God gave us. And then the second thing we can do is forgive ourselves and forgive our neighbor. I think that, you know, we can have movements and we can do our marches and we can do everything that have worked well in the past and everything that we feel may work well today. But at the end of the day, it's about an individual decision. It's about an individual decision to harm another person, to belittle another person, to be mean to another person. So it has to start with the individual. We have to put faith back into our communities. We have to put love back into our homes and our communities. And we have to love that neighbor as ourselves. I think that's the key. To solving not only and ending racism and discrimination, but also to end so many other things that we're facing as people, not just people of color, but people in America, people around the world. So that would be my recommendation.
And, you know, Tracy, I agree with you because, you know, for the people who are not Christians, I'm not saying anything bad about that, but, you know, what we have learned as Christians that the Bible, the letter stands for basic instructions before leaving this earth, you know, and whatever you need to learn how to do, whether it's relationships with your spouse, what you should do about this or that or temptations or whatever, it's in the Bible. If we have more people going back to the Bible and living by those golden rules, maybe things will turn itself around. And I personally believe that racism is taught. And so I'm grateful for the new babies and the new mothers that are not teaching that because, you know, a lot of this stuff is taught. You know, if you stop teaching that and stop sitting there acting like it's okay when you see somebody being put down. And another thing, too, is sometimes if it don't even involve you, if you just happen to be out and about and you hear somebody being put down, speak up. Because a lot of times people say, well, it doesn't involve me, it's not my problem, you know, but I speak up, you know, just be observant, look around, you know, and just speak up and say, come on now, stop this, you know, because it's going to take one heart at a time, you know, but a change is going to come. I believe that. I believe we can't continue like this and survive, you know, because we got to learn how to work together because a house divided will fall. And the human race is a house. If we stay divided, we want to implode, you know. So with that being said, I want you, Dr. Tracy Powell, to tell everyone how to reach you, what your media sites are so they can get a hold of you because you're winding down now.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me. And thank you to everyone who's listening in tonight. And I encourage you all to start today with loving yourself and loving your neighbor. We don't have to wait for it to be a press release or executive order from the president to show love and to be love. So I would encourage you all to do that. To reach me, you can go to my website, which is the acronym for my business. It's www.ec. CIFMW.org, and that stands for Executive Coaching Institute for Minority Women. Or you can email me at Dr. Tracy, that's T-R-A-C-Y, D-R for doctor, at ECIFMW.org. If you have any questions for me, I'm excited to talk to you all. I take calls and I do engage with people. I have an outstanding workshop coming up on birthing your book in June. I'm doing a workshop to really work with people about writing their legacy, the legacy they want to leave. That's June the 26th on Zoom, and you can find out information about that on Eventbrite.
Oh, that's wonderful, Dr. Tracy. Well, you know, I want you to have a great week and upcoming week, and I just thank you for that time you spent with me and Chris, because I know you're a woman who needs more than 24 hours a day. You know, I'm okay with the 24, but you probably need about 30.
Sometimes I ask for it.
But, darling, anytime you want to come back home, because unmasked, it's home for you. You come on back and you visit your cousins. We'll be here.
Thank you so much. Thank you again for having me. To you and Chris, I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
If you need me for anything, please reach out to call me. I'm never too busy to take a call or to stop and have a Zoom call with someone. So, you know, my prayer is that I'm always humbled in this journey that God has put me on. And as I'm humbled, I can help and reach more people. So I'm excited that we're in 33 countries tonight, and I look forward to hearing that there is 50 countries that is listening.
Yes, and I hope they are too. And obviously it must be, because last week we was at 30. And so three more jumped on, because a lot of my different media sites, you know, I post the show, and I guess they just like the way we do it. You know, they know that it's real. You know, I'm asking questions that they might want to know. So I'm just going there, you know. And Chris is my sidekick, bless his heart. He posts as well in different places.
I try.
Well, you're doing a good job, darling. Well, on that note, everyone, have a great weekend. Stay healthy, stay safe, and be humble. Show love and compassion for all neighbors, like ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And on that note, we're out. Y'all have a good evening.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Good night, darling. Good night, Dr. Powell.